You are listening to Destiny Pizza.
This is Thursday, the 23rd of July, week 115. I'm Drew Patel.
I'm Mike Steska.
We are Destiny Pizzas. I feel like I should change it up. I like that intro so much, mm-hmm. but I feel like I need to change it up more.
Maybe you should have like a week, a day-to-day switch up.
I think like maybe this Monday is our day-to-day switch up, though.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes we just don't start the episode.
That's true. Sometimes you go right into it. Sometimes.
But like yesterday's episode, the T-Swizzle.
Yeah, exactly. That was unique.
That was a unique.
Yeah. Unique one. I don't know. Whatever you're feeling, I guess.
I guess so.
You're the one doing it.
Yeah. Except for that one time where you stole
it. I tried to do it. That was hard to do. I don't know if I can't ever do it again. It's too difficult.
I think it's like Michael Jordan's secret drink from Space Jam.
Exactly.
It's inside you all along.
Yeah. I got it. I can do it, but I mean, then I'm going to have these existential questions that you're having, like, should I do that? Because then it's like 5 days in a row, you're like, I'm doing the same thing every day, but to the listeners, maybe it doesn't sound as weird.
Because they're listening to it like on a daily basis.
Yeah.
We're hearing the whole thing.
Exactly. Like, so you're like, oh, I just did that, but did I just do that? No, that was like a couple days ago.
Yeah. So let's get into it anyways. This Week in Movies and the Now. Paper Towns. Based on the book by the author John Green, who also wrote The Fault in Our Stars.
What happens in this movie per the trailer?
Okay. According to the trailer, this guy who looks like he's like probably more responsible than I was. Actually, definitely more responsible than I was in high school. Gets a van from his parents. He gets a car. He has like great grades. He's supposed to go to Duke in the fall. He's a senior. And him and his friends are like, how about we go to a party
this of course. That's what you
summer.
Do
when you got a van. We're teenagers and we haven't gone to a party yet. And he's like, well, what about this one party? And the guy's like, if there's a tuba there, there's no party. I like to say if there's a tuba there, then it's definitely a party.
That makes the party.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I want to almost bring a tuba to the next party.
I think if you go to a party and someone brings a tuba, you're like, whoa, let's like put a bunch of alcohol in there.
Yeah, I think a lot of fun stuff happening for sure.
It depends on how little clothes the person's wearing that's playing the tuba, though.
True.
If there's like a guy who's like in his underwear playing tuba, then you're like, this is a crazy party.
You're like, this is like Wolf of Wall Street stuff right here.
You're telling me that's not a party?
Exactly.
Little
that
teenager,
is
that's
for
a party.
Sure a party.
Okay. And then there's this girl named Margot who's played by Cara Delevingne, and he's like, she doesn't recognize me. And then I guess she's in a relationship, and she sneaks into his room one night and she's like, hey, I need a getaway driver. I'm pulling off like 7 pranks or things tonight, and I need a getaway driver.
Good thing you got that van.
Yeah, so he has that van. Who would have ever thought a van would help you get into the arms of a lady? Not me, but it works out for this guy. She's like, my boyfriend's cheating on me, and it reminds me of John Tucker Must Die, or whatever. Is that the name of the movie?
Yes. Where all those chicks are
cheating. Yeah.
I don't think they actually want to murder him, though.
No, but they're all being cheated on with each other, yes. And then they group together to ruin that guy's life.
No, yeah. Isn't that, it's like that other movie, I never saw it, but it was with like Kate Upton, it was like the other woman or something.
Yeah, where it's like all three of them are being cheated on.
They team up or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It turns out this girl's being cheated on, so she pulls pranks.
Would that ever happen the other way around, like a bunch of dudes?
No, this girl cheated on her, supposed to ruin her life.
Yeah. I don't think it works that way.
No.
Okay, just wanted to point that out.
That's why Hitler was a woman. It's a callback.
Okay, so we'll go.
That's truly twisted. That's true. That's a very twisted thing for women to do in this movie. It's like all these women are like, let's get revenge on this guy. But I think if it was men, that just be like,
they'd be like, whoa, these guys are like, they should go to prison.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like okay to do that to women.
Not at all. So she pulls a prank, and they're like, Margot, in the trailer, he's like, Margot really liked mysteries. And then she became one. And then the trailer turns.
Whoa.
And she disappears. And like, where's Margot? And he's like, I found this clue. And then he talks to one of her friends.
Wait, does it get like dark? Or is it like...
It seems pretty dark.
Okay.
Because she like disappears. And no one knows where she is. And he says... He waxes the eyebrow off of her ex-boyfriend. And then he wakes up and he runs out of the house. And he's like, my heart's beating like a million miles an hour. And then they cut the trailer in such a way, I assume they cut the trailer in such a way, where she's like, that's how your whole life should be. And I was like, that's how you die, Cara Delevingne. But they're like in some building and she's like, they're all just paper towns made of paper houses. Yeah, she said the title. And something about like how everyone's just living their life and it's like really boring. And so he says, like, oh, I found this address in my... Like, she became a mystery, and she left with all these clues. And he found, like, this crumpled up piece of notepaper in, like, the door hinge. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, has this address on it, and it's this abandoned, like, convenience store. And she spray-painted on the wall, like, one day you will return to your paper towns. And they're just, like, going on this giant mystery to try to find out where she is. And then... In the trailer, you see her in, like, a prom dress, like, kissing him, and they see him dancing and stuff, which leads me to believe that, like, they find her at the end and go to prom together or something.
Hmm.
But there's, like, a scene where he's...
like, why would they show us that?
Yeah, it's... I know recently a lot of directors have been saying, like, these trailers have been giving away too much, and I think this whole segment is proof of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the gallows, I was pretty spot on, almost, with what happened. A bunch of kids did die in that movie.
Yeah. It's hard when you're like... Because the people making the movie don't seem to have any control over what's getting...
put into the trailer.
Yeah. And when it's like... When it's something like Star Wars, I feel like we won't know much.
No.
Just because they're like... They know people are going to go see it.
Batman vs. Superman? I feel like I know the whole movie already.
Yeah, that... I feel like they're throwing everything at us. I'm like...
Suicide Squad, same thing with that.
Yeah. It's like, I want to know some of this stuff. But man, you're just like... I'll go see it. Just... You don't have to keep it like,
yeah, like, okay.
And
so,
it's one thing if it's like all these TV spot, like it's just there's so many trailers, it's like so much of it.
Yeah, we're getting like four or five trailers per movie.
I'm getting bombarded by it without seeking it out, even.
Yeah,
like, if it's showing up in my theater every single time, it's hard. Like,
with the gallows, there was a trailer where you see how one of these characters dies,
mm-hmm.
and it was like they didn't even cut it. Like, in the middle of it, yeah. You literally see that scene.
That's so weird.
It was, like, really screwed up. Huh. So, yeah. I think at the end of this movie, they all go to prom, and she's not disappeared. They find her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. It makes no sense to me.
Hmm.
And, so, yeah. Pixels is the next movie that comes out this weekend,
mm-hmm.
which I assume will do pretty well. I think it's going to go Southpaw, Pixels, and Paper Town. But I think Paper Town is going to surprise me.
Yeah. Because that book, that author is really popular.
He's really famous, yeah. And I read this, or I saw this funny YouTube video, because I guess he does a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And it's how he stole a quote from a 12-year-old girl. Because I guess someone misquoted her and credited him. And he's like, they say it's from one of his books. And I think it might be Paper Town that they say that it's from. Yeah. So he was like, oh, I like that quote, and I guess I wrote it. I don't remember writing it, but I write books, so of course I don't remember like every quote in every book.
Mm-hmm.
So he released it as a poster, and then later on he found out that it was like this 12-year-old girl's quote that someone credited to him. So now he paid her a bunch of money, and
really?
Then like continues to pay her as
every
like
time.
As an apology. Like,
oh, wow.
She gets royalty off that poster.
Wow.
I think they put it in this movie, so yeah. Let me see if I can find it. Pixels. Adam Sandler, the dude who invented Pac-Man.
Josh Gad. Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage and someone else.
Michelle Monaghan?
Yeah.
Donkey Kong is in the movie.
Yeah, Donkey Kong,
Tetris,
Space Invaders.
Pong.
Oh, here we go. Okay. University of... someone. John Green stole a quote from Melody Truong when she was 13 years old. "I'm in love with cities I've never been to and people I've never met." Someone attributed the phrase to John Green. And then, oh, when she was 13 years old, she put it in a poem. She was born in Long Beach and then later moved out. Okay, so then he felt really bad, so he made a video and he said he's paying her royalties for the poster. And he gave her royalties for all the posters that ever sold, and then from now on.
Cool.
Because I guess the book Paper Towns came out 7 years ago. But I don't think that quote's in the...
It's just trailer. On like a poster.
Yeah, it's on a poster that he... Like, he saw it on Tumblr, and someone credited him.
Yeah.
So then he's like, oh, I guess I'll put it on a poster. Anyways, Pixels, I guess we sent a rocket ship with, like, a bunch of 80s stuff to space.
I assume in the 80s we did this.
Yeah, in the 80s we did this. And like, then
we did it now.
That would be weird. Or they, like, beam out the stuff, like, with the satellite dish. Mm-hmm. And then the aliens learned about it and think that's our whole society, so they come back to Earth in, like, these things. They made them gigantic and real and scary, and we have to fight back. So they get all these 80s like arcade stars. Like Peter Dinklage was like a rock star in the day, in his days, and Josh Gad was like the best at like Pac-Man or whatever, and Adam Sandler was really good at something else, but none of them were good at Donkey Kong, apparently. I think from the trailer they said.
Oh wait,
that.
Kevin James is in the movie too.
Oh, Kevin James is in the movie too. And they have to drive Mini Coopers, which represent the ghosts, to chase Pac-Man to kill the ghosts or something.
I don't get how that works, but
yeah, me neither. They should have called the Ghostbusters. Or not really, because
who are we gonna call?
The Ghostbusters would just kill
we aren't afraid of ghosts.
So yeah, it's like that episode of Futurama. I've been saying it from the beginning. It's like that one episode of Futurama.
Yep.
Southpaw. I am phenomenal.
Talk about giving away in the trailer.
Yeah. They just keep playing that line. I was like, this is the worst Eminem song I've ever heard. This is worse than that album when he like sobered up and he released that album. Because he keeps saying, I am phenomenal. It's about this boxer who I assume is like a Floyd Mayweather in his day. Like really rich and successful. But he's like, I guess he's like a pretty good boxer. And then one night, his future opponent, is like, talks some trash. He's like, how about you say this in my face? And he goes to punch him in his entourage, the other entourage.
It reminds me of, speaking of entourage, Mark Wahlberg in The Fighter.
Yeah.
Where they get into that fight. He's like...
It's crazy.
It's like that same scene.
Yeah.
In my mind. Except Christian Bale's not smoking crack in that
one. I don't think Forrest Whitaker smokes crack in this movie. Or 50 Cent, or...
Oh, yeah, 50 Cent's in the movie also.
Yeah, so his daughter is someone, and Rachel McAdams is his wife, and then the guy pulls a gun on him. Like, his entourage pulls a gun out and starts shooting, and I guess shoots through Donnie Darko's hand. Which, I mean, is much better than where he gets shot in Donnie Darko.
Yes.
And then he's like, oh, and then he's like, oh no, my wife is dead. And I guess he's really depressed and he has a gun. I think he's going to go on like a vengeance streak, or he's like really like inside of him. He's like, do I go try to get vengeance on this guy who shot my wife and hand, or do I not? And then they're like, you're not making any money. We're going to take your daughter away from you. You're like on drugs and alcohol. He's, like, driving drunk and stuff and, like, doing crazy. So they take his daughter away, and he loses everything. And then he's like, I need to fight. And then Forrest Whitaker's like, you don't know how to fight in our style or something like that. And then he later becomes a phenomenon.
He is a phenomenon!
And I guess he probably fights and wins the fight. If he doesn't win the fight, that'll be pretty tragic. But I think that's probably what happens. At the end, he's like...
I think so, too.
And then he's going to be in the new Rocky movie, and it's going to be him.
Show up and fight Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I'm going to fight you.
I was going to say the other guy, Mason Dixon or whatever his name was.
Guy from Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Who, like, beats Rocky. I was like, what a shitty ending to a movie.
What the hell?
And what a weird name. Like,
to be named... the Mason-Dixon line.
Which was, like, the line below that line was, like, slavery.
Yeah. It is really weird.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's what happens in Southpaw. How accurate do you think these ones were? I think the first one was very accurate.
Pretty damn accurate. I think they're all accurate.
Like, I feel bad for all of our listeners because I ruined Paper Towns for you.
But that's the trailer. It's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's the trailer's fault. You're just describing the trailer. I think it's better.
And I'm putting pieces in the right order.
Say you didn't see... yeah, that's true, too. But say you didn't see the trailer, and then the way you describe it, it's still different from what you see on screen.
Yes.
Because you're like, wait, oh, that's what he meant by that.
Yeah.
It's hard to visualize exactly what you're saying.
Like, Southpaw, obviously this guy's going to go through some redemption.
That's kind of what happens to all these, like, boxing or sports movies, is they like...
except for Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't kill him in the end of that movie.
They kill Rocky.
He just dies.
And they can't make anymore. That's the problem.
Well, Peter Petrelli's there. He, like, won't even go to the fight to see his own father fight.
No.
It was horrible. Three-six Mafia's there.
He did it in Rocky Balboa. He went to the fight. The last fight.
Oh, did... oh,
yeah,
okay.
He eventually becomes part of his team. He's like, yeah.
Which is weird, because in the real... in, like, Rocky V, I think, is...
his real son?
Peter... yeah, it's his real son plays Rocky's son.
And he's watching him on TV.
Yeah.
Or, I'm thinking of four. Four, he's watching him on TV.
Is that the one where he teaches him how to fight?
No, that's five.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's five. Five, he teaches him how to fight, and then he fights like the Don King is there. Is really strange. That movie's really weird.
The Rocky universe is a strange place.
Yeah, because like people die from like getting punched, and then
do a lot of people die from boxing. In Rocky world,
and like he falls in love with the pet shop like worker. It's weird, and he invites a tiger to his wedding. It's very bizarre.
Hey. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind marrying me very much.
That's makes up for all my bad impersonations I did earlier.
You just had to get in the Rocky mindset. Yeah. You were too much in the Rambo mindset.
My brain was too high functioning. I couldn't get into the...
You'd go to a lower level.
No, Rambo.
Like, Rambo's too more Rambo, smarter than Rocky.
Rambo.
Rambo. Rambo smash.
So yeah, that's Southpaw. Okay, now let's talk about some trailers. We saw the stunt trailer, which like I didn't.
Yeah, I've okay. seen that before.
So we saw it before Ant-Man, and he's like, "I'm Tom Cruise, and Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation is coming out soon." Because they do that before trailers now.
Yeah, but they also show us the regular then trailer later.
So I assume they're because they're like, when strapping like a multi-million-dollar action star onto the side of a plane, you have to make sure everything's right. And he's like, I feel like I'm going to poop my pants. And you see him holding onto the side of the airplane. Very positive this whole time. It's crazy. I think I want to meet Tom Cruise.
It is ridiculous. He is, like, that is insane. Like,
I think if
no
Tom
one else
Cruise
would do what he does. Like, you got
to
give him that.
To touch me, like, on anywhere in my body. Like, not sexually. Like, shake my hand, I think I would never be sad in my life again.
Yeah, he's a pretty crazy guy.
He probably has more positivity in his sweat than I have.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty positive guy, but I think Tom Cruise is like way more positive.
I think so.
Because I'm like, couldn't you just break your ears by doing a stunt like that?
Yeah. Like, I don't know even how... I know he's like forcing them to let him do it, but how do they let him do it?
And the crazy thing is, he has like a person putting contacts in his eye. But then, like, right after that, like, because in that scene, you see someone putting a contact in his eye.
So everyone's doing everything for him, but then he's on a plane.
Yeah, but they let him, like, hold on to a plane.
Yeah.
Granted, he's, like, strapped in, like, three times.
Yeah.
But still.
Still, like, nobody else is going to do that. Like.
Do you hear about what Danny Trejo says about people who do their own stunts?
No.
He said, because he doesn't do his own stunts. And he said, why should I take the job away from people just for trying to prove that I have bigger balls than anyone else on the set? Because there is a big... that is an industry of stuntmen.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
just to prove that he has balls?
There's a lot of stuntmen job out there. Like, I don't think that's why he does it. I think he just... I don't know why he does it, but I guess he's just saying, like, oh, it is technically better for the movie, I think, that you're, like, the real actor is doing it. Technically, I don't think it really changes if people enjoy a movie or not.
I don't think so.
But I think
then again, it was a big point of contention when we brought it up with like one with Usher, and he was like, "Nice one, Drew."
Yeah, see, he doesn't believe it for half the people don't believe it, even if... That's why they had to show us that, like, mini preview. Yeah. They're like, no, no, he really did this.
It's because my life is bugged, and they heard me get in an argument with my friend over it.
Yeah, they're so, like, let's put this up for real.
Yeah.
And then one day I'll see it in theaters and be like, oh, okay.
He's like, wow, fine. This is very involved. I can't believe they're, like, trying to... I can't believe Drew got them to do this.
Yeah, exactly. How did that happen?
Okay, so we saw that trailer, and we saw the real trailer, and then we saw Everest, which I didn't know existed.
Me either. First time I saw it.
Is it? Have we just gotten to the point where, like, gravity... It's like a gravity movie.
Yeah, but in the mountains.
In the mountains.
We got to the top, and then they're like, there's a storm!
You have to get yourself down there, and they're like, this guy's dying!
And the one dude's like,
we have no oxygen!
He's like, you're gonna be the first mailman on Everest.
Yeah, that's the whole premise, is like,
yeah.
Mailman on
Everest. It's a normal
dude.
Yeah, he's like, I want to show my son that even a normal dude
can go up Mount Everest. I was like, I don't think you understand how much money it costs.
It's like, I don't think a normal dude can do this. I'm sorry.
No, apparently, I think it was in fourth grade or something, we met a guy who climbed Mount Everest.
Did we?
Yeah, like, we went on some field trip.
Yeah.
And this guy was, like, a Native American pottery expert.
Yeah.
And apparently, he has climbed Mount Everest.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Those people have balls, too.
Who has bigger balls, Tom Cruise for going onto a side of a plane or Mount Everest, to climb Mount Everest?
I don't know. I'd have to research more of Mount Everest.
I'm pretty sure it's very dangerous.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, people
die. Especially, like, now, because, like, with global warming and stuff, I think it's very dangerous now.
Yeah.
Because I considered it.
I just have an idea in my head that it's not that dangerous, but that's just, there's no basis for that. Just because, like, I feel like so many people do it that I assume they got it down pat by
Can
now.
Can I look it up? Because I think a lot of people died last year.
I think
year,
people
that's
do die every year, though.
Percentage, but, amount.
But it's hard to compare because no one ever strapped themselves to an airplane.
That's true.
And no one would have the capability to do that either.
Oh, okay. Charting deaths on Mount Everest. Um, 2014 was the most deadly season ever, the climbing season of 2014.
Yeah, so there's times of the year you can't even go up there.
No. Until now, never exceeded 15. 2014, 16 people died. Man.
Yeah, so that's pretty ballsy, I would say. That's a lot of people dying a year.
Oh, 20 to 25 people down as a swept through.
Because how many people do you think go up there?
Oh, so 10 people died in 2012, 8 people died in 1996, and 7 people were killed all other times.
What?
In that year.
Oh, I thought you were like a 10-year span of only 7 people dying.
Actually, it doesn't look like that bad of percentages.
Oh, yeah?
I think I'd play the percentages out. Because, like,
Yeah, and what do people die of? Like, hypothermia? Or they're old people dying? Or who's dying up there?
I think, like, oxygen and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But then a lot of the people who die are, like, Sherpas, who are the people, the experts who are supposed to guide you.
Yeah. Because I almost feel like if you're a rich person go up there, you have all the gear.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like if you have, like, equipment, it's not so bad, but that's, I mean, it's still crazy, but I think if you have, like, a tent and everything, I don't know.
832 deaths between 1950 and 2009. 50% of the higher deaths were due to avalanches, while nearly 40% of member deaths were attributed to falls, and that's just Sherpas dying. That's a lot of deaths. But for, like, 59 years, 800 deaths. That's quite a bit, actually.
How many people went up there, though? That's a harder number to get, I guess.
Success. I think the worst thing about it is, like, once you get to the top, you have to go back down.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Well, that's what they showed in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was easy getting up, and then there was a storm. Yeah, because I assume that's where the majority of the time you're going to fall is when you're going down, not going up.
Mm. I don't know if they have a number. I'd be interested in that number, though. Okay, so climbing gear required to reach the summit may cost in excess of $8,000. Most climbers also use bottled oxygen, which adds around $3,000. The permit to enter Everest area from south via Nepal costs $10,000 to $25,000 per person. The ascent typically starts in one of two base camps. Let's see. Transferring one's equipment from the airport to the base camp may add as much as $2,000. And then the cost of such a guide service may range from $40,000 to $80,000 per person. Oh, you can hire someone just to carry your backpack for you. That's amazing. I think it must be pretty easy to do this.
Yeah, I think as long as you have enough money. The equipment, yeah. It can't be that bad. I mean, you could always get unlucky with weather.
Oh, Edmund Hillary, the first guy to climb Mount Everest, said, the commercialization of mountaineering, particularly of Mount Everest, and he said, having people pay $65,000 and then be led up the mountain by a couple of experienced guides isn't really mountaineering at all.
Yeah, so there we go. Tom Cruise has more balls.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, wow, this is horrifying, though. The Chinese side of Everest in Tibet was called out of control after one Canadian had all his gear stolen and was abandoned by his Sherpa. Another Sherpa helped him get off the mountain safely and gave him some spare gear. Other climbers have also noted missing oxygen bottles, which can be worth hundreds of dollars each. One of the problems is that there are hundreds of climbers passing by people's tents, although the weather can also damage or even blow people's equipment away. Yeah, anyways. Oh. I think this link was what I was looking for. Mount of Everest by numbers. Thirty minutes before a climber dies after contracting hypothermia on Mount Everest. So if you get hypothermia, you only survive for 30 minutes.
Wow.
40 is the record number of people to successfully reach Mount Everest summit in one day on May 10, 1993. 4,000 people have climbed Mount Everest since 1953, and this article is written in 2012, which was the most dangerous year. Like 4,000 out of 4,000, like 800 people died.
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty crazy. That's pretty high.
Yeah, that's very high. Yeah, so it's there's different levels, because if you have all the gear, everything.
And don't carry your own gear.
Yeah, but if you're like bare bonesing it, your risk has got
to
be high.
Okay, so say you hire one of these guys, these mountaineering guides to carry your gear and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, and I'm like, I'm a big baller, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to have like five guys with me that carry all my stuff throughout all of them.
Yeah.
And one of them dies.
Yeah.
How guilt-ridden are you for the rest of your life?
I feel pretty guilty, because you're like, he told me he could handle it, but damn. Like, I was giving him a lot to do. It seemed pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
But it depends the circumstances of his death, because, I mean...
Well, no, because like, apparently they limit you on how much weight each of them can carry and stuff.
Yeah. They're telling me you're going over the limit?
No.
Oh, okay.
But if he died on... I guess it's the same, like, say you took a taxi at one night, and a drunk driver hits that taxi driver, and you survive the crash.
Yeah.
Do you feel guilty at all? This is getting really real for the podcast.
I mean, how's that your fault? It's hard to put yourself in that situation until it arises, but I don't know how you can blame yourself. I mean, he was going to be picking up somebody else.
Yeah.
Like... You're glad you weren't driving. I don't know. Like,
this is a new discussion question.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Pretty deep. It's pretty deep right there.
Okay. So, yeah, Everest looks horrifying. Yeah. It looks, yeah. Goosebumps.
Jackpot.
This looks like a fun movie.
Yeah.
Especially if you're read about the Goosebumps books and stuff. It looks fun.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It's where Arl...
I dig the concept of it.
Jack Black is Arl Stud. And he keeps all his manuscripts like locked up in his house, and if you open them, the monsters come out.
Yep. That seems to be the movie.
Yeah.
They all come to life.
Fantastic Four. We saw a new trailer where everything's green this time. Everything was originally orange.
Yes.
And they changed all of it to green.
They did. We don't know.
And we saw more of Dr. Doom.
Yes. And we saw them as kid. Well, we saw Reed as a kid.
Yeah. And he creates like a... What does he do? He makes like a teleporting thing?
Yeah. I think he's trying to make a teleporter, but I'm assuming that's what eventually sends them to the other dimension or whatever.
So, yeah. We saw Reed and we saw... What's his name?
The Thing.
Yeah.
Who is... Blanking on the name. The Thing.
It's all good.
Is... He's the Thing.
He is named Ben Grimm.
Ben Grimm, there you go. Yeah. But it's weird, because I think the Thing was talking, but he just has his normal voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this sounds very odd. This voice coming out of this big, giant rock monster.
Rock monster? Boom, 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 boom. Then we saw the trailer for The Finest Hours, which I was thoroughly confused about.
Mm-hmm.
They promised me it was a Disney movie. And it's one of those serious Disney movies that they make every so often.
Yeah.
Where it's about, like, a ship that's can't handle the water, and then, like, the Coast Guard has to go out, and Chris Pine is there, and he's like, I'm in love with this woman who's afraid of the ocean. And then I think she goes out later on. She's like, I love him. And they have, like, these ugly accents.
Yeah, I know. That's the worst part is the accent. And he's like, they tell you. You can go out, but they don't tell you you're going to come back in.
Yeah. It was like...
Oh, yeah. And it's like the most daring rescue in Coast Guard history.
Yeah, and it's a true story.
Yeah. I hope they rescue.
Yeah, I hope they don't die. Yeah.
Daring rescue attempt.
Yeah.
It is true.
It's like 3 days late at the end credits, like 2 hours later, he died. When a man shot him.
Unrelated, but you know, that's just
a crazy person who broke out.
That's what happened.
And then I saw a trailer for The Visit. Are you familiar with this movie?
No.
M. Night Shyamalan's new movie.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Holy shit, this movie looks so scary.
Really?
Okay.
Is his name actually on the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's it's funny though, because they're like the writer and director of Sixth Sense. Like, Unbreakable, Signs.
Avatar.
No, what The Village. What else did they mention? They mentioned, like, four movies, and I was like, he also wrote, like, After Earth, Stuart Little. Well, he wrote Stuart Little. He didn't direct that one. But, it's produced by, I think his name is Andrew Blum, which is Blumhouse Productions again, the guy who made Paranormal Activity and The Gallows and Whiplash. We gotta give him credit for Whiplash. Yeah. Produce that one.
Yeah, true.
But it's about these two kids who.
Oh yeah, we talked about this movie.
Yeah.
Like way back when it was announced it was happening or something.
Yeah, they visit their grandparents, but like I forgot what the name of the actress is in it, because it's a pretty famous woman, isn't it? She's like a comedian, I think. Not 2007. Movie looks horrifying, though. Wow, it's described as a comedy horror. Jason Blum.
Comedy horror.
Found footage horror drama. Stars Catherine Hahn. That's her name. This person.
Okay, yeah, she's in. She's been a bunch of comedic
stuff. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. She was in Anchorman. She was in
Step Brothers.
She was in The Goods. She was in Our Idiot Brother.
Jump Street, one of
the Dictator. We Are the Millers.
Oh, wait, no, she wasn't in
Trump. Bad Words. This Is Where I Leave You. The D-Train. Tomorrowland. She's Funny That Way. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. A lot of stuff. So, yeah, it's these two kids. That's Catherine Hahn is the mom. She's like, oh, go spend time with your grandparents. And they're like, he's like, bedtime is 9:30. I don't expect you to leave your bedrooms after that. Mm-hmm. And the kids are like, 9:30? That's what the kids say. And they're like Skyping with their mom a lot. And like they hear this weird sound. It's like 10 o'clock and they hear this weird sound. And they open the door, and it's, like, their grandma naked, like, scratching, like, furiously on the wall across. And they're like, oh! And, like, all this creepy stuff happens, and it's, like, weird during the day, and then it's, like, horrifying at nighttime.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene where the grandfather's, like, looking down the barrel of a shotgun, and you hear, like, a click. And it's like, I'm just cleaning it! It's, like, really weird. And then it gets, like, really scary.
Wow.
And, like, the cops come, and they're, like, call them up. You have to come pick us up! So yeah, weird. This movie looks really scary though. But I'm just worried I'm going to be disappointed again because it's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, the movie's trying to go real creepy, so it's like,
that's what I heard. It's like at least he went creepy in the aspect of it like being a cheap, small movie instead of like a giant like Lady in the Water or something like that.
High budget.
Yeah, crazy high budget movie. Like this is very low budget.
Yeah, he's got to prove himself again.
There's like this one horrifying thing where you see the grandma in a rocking chair facing the wall laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
And they turn to her and she just stares. It's like her face pants. Oh, freaky. And then she's like taking. You see the girl and you see the grandma pull out the cookie tray thing, like the oven rack out of the oven. And is like, can you go in there to clean it up? And I guess like she's trying to like the grandma's trying to kill the kids and stuff. Wow. It's horrifying. I can't wait until the end when you find out, like, it's not really their grandparents. So that's a twist or something.
Yeah, it'd be something weird like that.
It's like a reality TV show or something. Yeah. Who knows?
They're trying to freak out kids.
Yeah.
You were on TV. We did a good job.
You won $1 million. Something like that. So, yeah. That's all the trailers I saw this week, I think.
And then on Netflix today is Teacher of the Year.
Okay.
Finally, some on Netflix this week.
Yeah. Don't know what that's about, but that's what your job is.
Exactly.
You hear us do our job. Now it's your turn. Yeah, you have to watch all yourself. These terrible movies on Netflix.
Yeah.
And tell us what's in what you play at This Week in Movies in the Now with
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And then you recommend to us if we should watch
and
it.
And you rate it. You watch the trailer for these movies, and then you tell me what it's about, what you think it's about. That sounds horrible because the main way we communicate with people is through Twitter. And that sounds like I'm going to get like 10 tweets saying like,
it's about this. It's, like,
it's about this. Dot, dot, dot. And then a continuation of the next tweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But if you want to get scared, watch the trailer for The Visit. Because I don't know if I was just like in a scared.
Was the trailer during?
It was before the gallows. Yeah. And then they showed another trailer and I'm like, this was the. Oh, they showed the trailer for Vacation.
During the gallows?
Yeah, and it was weird. Oh, it was so weird because they did one of those things where it's like, hey, I'm blah 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 from this movie and you're watching at Regal Cinemas.
Yeah.
But it was Ed Helms and Christina Applegate and he's like, I'm Ed Helms and she's like, I'm Christina Applegate and we're gonna be in the new movie, Vacation. You're watching at Regal and it's Ed Helms doing his thing, but he's like, Regal. The theater of royalty, of kings, and Christina Applegate is and queens. And he's like, off with our heads. And she's like, wait, what? And he's like, well, not all of your heads. She's like, no, not. We don't want to kill any of you. He's like, well, not all of you. And then the trailer says, I was like, that was so awkward. It was.
Wow.
It's something that they tried to look like it was improv, but I'm sure it was written.
Yeah, but I'm sure they did that over and over.
And it was horrible. Written, like, you're watching at Regency. Regency, Regency, Ronald Reagan. Like, I don't know.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's this week. Or come back tomorrow for Netflix recommendations and Freestyle Friday. And you're going to hear about something of a really funny, scary, funny story for tomorrow. So that's something I look forward to. Yeah, come back tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
thank you for listening to Destiny Pizzas. Until next week, grab a slice and enjoy. Goodbye.